The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So last week we discussed the sin of pride, that sin that exalts ourselves above God. It's reasonable without any other information that we should be focused upon ourselves and neglect God. That is, without any other information. Fortunately, or unfortunately, depending upon your perspective, we do have other information. We have the revelation of God given us first through the world around us. We call this general revelation, for everyone that has ever been has access to the world. We can look at creation and understand that there must be a creator. And then beyond this, beside this, we also have the inspired scriptures, which reveal to us God more explicitly. We call this specific revelation. The revelation of God to us through these two sources leave us without excuse. We are expected to worship the one from whom all being flows, the one through whom all things are made, visible and invisible, as we just confessed in the Creed. Neglecting to do this, in other words, worshiping ourselves instead of God, is therefore the sin of pride. As we mentioned last week, pride is a sin of the mind. It begins with our thoughts, especially with our refusal to give God his due. This week, we look at the sins next door to pride. They're the sins of vainglory and envy. Pride exalts itself over God, while vainglory and envy exalt the self over others. Vainglory seeks out praise for ourselves. The most gratuitous form of this is prompting others for compliments. We recognize this as immature. It's laughable sometimes. But don't worry, as we grow older, we learn how to do this in more sophisticated ways. We become very good at hiding our real motives in our interactions with others to the point where we ourselves may not recognize why we say certain things that we do. Vainglory seeks recognition from others, not necessarily a specific person. For example, vainglory asserts itself into leadership positions because it cannot tolerate being second to others. Envy, though similar to vainglory, focuses more on a specific honor or maybe a specific person. It's desirous of praise or recognition or status that another receives. Someone else gets a promotion, so we have to soothe our feelings by claiming that they really didn't deserve it as much as we did. Someone else wins an industry award or wins the girl or does well in class. Instead of being happy for them and being inspired to do better, we blame it on favoritism or systemic oppression. When we have a difficult time acknowledging that others are better than we, this is envy. It differs from petty jealousy or covetousness, in that these sins that we'll discuss later on in a few Sundays, these sins are focused upon things, not upon people. Vainglory and envy are similar, and we discussed them together this morning, in that they are both sins of the mind, sins of our private thoughts, and they both exalt the self over others. If we turn to our gospel lesson this morning, we see it to be primarily a condemnation of vainglory and envy. Judge not, lest ye be judged. On reading this, we must ask ourselves the question, do we really understand whether or not that other person deserves praise or the recognition that he was given? Do we understand the motives behind his actions? Do we know how hard he worked or the sacrifices he made to accomplish what he did? The answers, no, no, and no. All human judgment is faulty to some extent. We do not even know our own hearts or our minds. God is the only perfect judge, and only Christ is worthy to judge us. We are not worthy to judge each other, so we must refuse to be judgmental. In our world, I most commonly see this when people presume to judge motives. We often hear people condemned as racist. But as mere humans, we cannot look into the hearts of others and know if they bear a specific hatred or of a particular race or not. We might be able to look at actions and see if they are righteous or not, but we cannot see into the heart and know the motives behind any given action. Christ has forgiven us, so we must always extend forgiveness to each other. Christ has blessed us with what we need for life and salvation, so we are called to generosity, not to resentment of one another. Do you want God to look upon you with his grace and favor? Then you must look upon each other with grace and favor. Do not interpret the actions of other people in a negative way. Always seek to find the good in others. Be gracious to each other. Are you critical of others? Upon what basis do you criticize? Is this merely a means of gaining praise and control for yourself? If we're going to be critical of someone else, then we must take some time to examine our motives and seek out the deep thoughts of our hearts. We must cast the plank out of our own eye before presuming to pick the speck out of the eye of another person. Such self-examination is extremely challenging because we always seek deep down inside to justify ourselves. We are unable to accurately see the selfishness and pride at our core. Are you criticized by someone else? Do you bristle at what may be unfair criticism? Do not do that, but rather humble yourselves and consider what has been said. There will be some truth in the criticism, even if it is given in a mean or condescending manner. It is extremely hard to receive such input from others, but we should not let our wounded pride blind us from the opportunity to grow in Christ-likeness. We typically do not navigate these waters very successfully. We all have a self-conception in which we like to believe, I'm a decent fellow when it comes down to it. It requires serious work to dislodge the pride and likewise the vainglory and envy in our hearts. But may God grant us the grace to do just this. Again, stepping back to last week, we can see that pride is exercised against God's rule over us and may not have such a direct impact on other people. It may, but it's usually directed against God. And God's not hurt when we angrily shake our fists at him or when we casually ignore him. He simply desires to pour out his love upon his people who may or may not be open to receiving it. Vainglory and envy, on the other hand, can be manipulative and even dangerous for others. We can think of the biblical stories of Potiphar's wife lying about Joseph when he refused her advances. Her pride was hurt, and so she lied about him and had him cast into prison. We have heard false accusation stories like this even in our own time. We also think about Haman trying to destroy the Jewish people because of his envy of Mordecai. Thankfully, God saved his people through the obedient and courageous Queen Esther. One could also make the case that the immediate cause for the crucifixion of Jesus was the envy of the Jewish religious leaders. People will be hurt when we act upon our desire for glory or seek revenge on others who we don't feel merit the accolades given to them. We want them for ourselves. But let us also remember that none of these schemes wielded against the people of God ended up destroying them. God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. What man intends for evil, God uses for good. Might the schemes of the wicked bring about the suffering of the people of God? Undoubtedly. We will suffer because of maliciousness resulting from envy and the prideful hatred of God. And yet God will use our patient bearing up under unjust suffering to glorify his kingship and grow his kingdom. This appeals rather directly to the epistle lesson this morning, which begins, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." As followers of Christ, and even more generally as human beings, we will suffer in this world. Our gut instinct is to put ourselves forward, to do what we can to avoid suffering, to grasp for whatever relief may be readily at hand, or to assert ourselves before others, even if it means causing great distress elsewhere. But all the grasping in the world does not address the fundamental problem of sin, both on an individual level and on a cosmic level. Through mankind's sin, creation itself was made subject to vanity, to futility. Now it waits patiently for the redemption to come. This redemption starts with Jesus Christ's work in our souls, and from there works itself out into the world. Vainglory is a fitting name for the sin that we are discussing today, because instead of waiting on God patiently, like creation, we grasp for the glory ourselves. And this all ends up in turmoil and vanity. What we should be doing as children of God, as followers of Christ, is enduring what trials come our way while waiting patiently for the consummation of the redemption to come. Creation waits patiently for the redemption that shall appear in us. We should follow its example as we wait for God to justify us instead of striving against one another to justify ourselves. Now, not only do we see this emphasis on patience in the epistle lesson, but we also read about it this morning in the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3. That reading began, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." And the psalm today reflected similar themes of trusting God. It begins, Psalm 91 begins, "Whoso dwelleth under the defense of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, Thou art my hope and my stronghold. My God, in him will I trust. For he shall deliver thee from the snares of the hunter and from the noisome pestilence. He shall defend thee under his wings, and thou shalt be safe under his feathers. His faithfulness and truth shall be thy shield and buckler." The contrast that is established here is between our rushing to defend ourselves against all attacks that come and our striving to exalt ourselves above all others, versus resting in the identity that we have in Christ and in the protection of God. Really, this comes down to a matter of trust. Do we believe that God is who he says he is? Do we believe that he is faithful to his people? Will we be content to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, under the defense of his wings? The answer to these questions depends nothing on our feelings. It depends upon the faith given to us by God. And we are called to patient abiding, to waiting upon God to protect us or to justify us. We are not burdened with the defense of our own honor or the indignation of being passed over for that promotion or job or whatever it is. The solution to the sins of vainglory and envy is that we wait upon God, for he is just, and all things will be repaid. The sufferings we endure for Christ's sake in this world will bring glory to us in the next. The evil committed in this world will be repaid in the next. We are to lovingly obey God in our waiting and to do those good works that we are called upon to do. After that, we leave the results to Him. Like pride, vainglory, and envy are sins of the mind or intellect. The virtue that battles these sins is prudence. What is prudence? Well, the first definition that we find in the dictionary for prudence is the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. We have to have right thoughts. And having right thoughts will battle those selfish thoughts, those envious thoughts, the thoughts of glory for ourselves. Sins of the mind are thus combated by virtues of the mind. As Christians, we must therefore put on the mind of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we have fallen ideas, we will sin. If our minds have been redeemed and thus transformed by the Spirit of God who dwells in us, then we will know the truth of God because we are in relationship to the truth of God. Thinking correctly with the mind of Christ is the prerequisite to combating envy, vainglory, and pride. Specifically this morning, we are encouraged to meditate with faith upon the justice of God and the faithfulness of God. He will make all things right, particularly in the next world, but also in this world, so that each one is given his due reward as God arranges the affairs of man. We do not need to exalt ourselves over others. We do not need to push ourselves to the front of the queue. Rather, we need to rest patiently in God. We need to learn to defer to others. These are conscious decisions that begin in our thought life and then work themselves out in our actions and conduct towards others. Our life and being flow from Him, and that cannot be taken away. Let us not seek from the world what it cannot provide. So put aside your striving for vainglory. Do not desire the honor of this world. Instead, let us live as the redeemed people of God, awaiting patiently as God brings the nations into His fold. Submit to God's goodness. Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Turn your eyes from your neighbor and let them gaze into the face of Christ. Especially as we now turn to the sacrament given to us in divine love, the sacrament of His body and blood. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.